ladies and gentlemen. This is Daniele Menzi. I'm the MEF advisor. I'm here today with Tony Pierce. Tony, can you introduce yourself? And we go much more into detail later, but I don't have to introduce anything so people, the listener, know what we're talking about.
Yeah, hi, my name's Tony Pierce. It's Reality Gaming Group. We started back in 2017. We were one of the first games companies to look at blockchain gaming, which 2 years ago was extremely early, but now is turning into being one of the most exciting new gaming platforms out there.
Yeah, that's very exciting because Tony, for those that don't know Tony, it's a blockchain, crypto, whatever you want to call it, entrepreneur, which has started to embrace the journey of using the blockchain technology to, number one, to raise funds during the ICO time, but also to use the blockchain and what the blockchain delivers to create value out of his product and the idea it has from an entrepreneurial point of view. Can you describe a little bit more why back in the day, so a few years ago, you started to embrace the journey merging somehow videos or reality, reality video, reality games, AR, along with mobile and blockchain altogether?
Yeah, so I've been in the games industry now for over 25 years. So I've seen a lot of changes and a lot of new games platforms launching. You know, if I go right back to when I first started, it was Amiga games and then PC games and console and then mobile and social. And if you take last year's gaming revenue, add all those up, it's about a $70 billion a year industry. You know, that the games industry is now worth more than movies and music combined. I mean, it's absolutely massive. But there is a new platform in town, and that platform is blockchain. And blockchain gaming is incredibly exciting. And I think 2 years ago, that looking into what blockchain was doing and then thinking about how that could work with games was very exciting. So what we do is we create mass market games that use blockchain technology. But what does that mean? You know, what does blockchain actually mean for games? So I think the easiest way to explain it is if you look at the current games market. Now, for years, gamers have been spending billions of dollars buying in-game items. But actually, when they buy those in-game items, they have no ownership rights or control over those items. So for instance, you know, if you play a game like Fortnite, when you play that game, it's actually free to begin with, like most games are, especially on mobile as well. But they make their money through users buying in-game items. And those in-game items, if you take Fortnite again as an example, is clothing for your avatar, maybe a special weapon. And last year, they made $1 billion from people buying in-game items. But actually, you don't own these items. You have no ownership rights at all. All that money that you spent in Fortnite buying those clothes for your avatars is simply a license to use them in the game. And that, I think, is... It is the way that our industry has worked, and gamers accept that. But actually, it's wrong. I mean, if you know, what happens if the game goes bust? You know, the $100 that you've spent or the $1,000 that you've spent in that game, you've now lost forever. It's a bit like going into HMN, you know, or Topshop and buying a shirt, and that store goes bust, your shirt would disappear. That's the reality of the games industry that we're in right now. And what blockchain gaming does is completely change that. And it is an absolute game changer. So what that allows you to do is it allows you to go into a game, buy an item, and that item is tokenized. It has a smart contract around it, which says that Tony Pierce has just bought this weapon. This weapon is logged on the blockchain and connected to my wallet, which means that I now own that weapon forever. It's mine. It's not the games company's anymore. I own that gun and I can do what I want with it at any time. So in other words, I can take that game out. I can take that weapon or those clothes or whatever I bought, that fantastic sword. I can take it out the game when I'm finished with it and I can sell it to my friends. I own it. I can do what I want with it. oh, I can trade it online. And there's many marketplaces, a bit like eBay's, appearing all over the places, which are now allowing you to trade these blockchain collectibles, if you want to call them, tokenized items. But not only can I, when I'm bored with the game and I'm finished with it, and I can sell it to my friends, I can also take it in and use it in other games. And that's what's exciting. And that transition, they call it like interoperability of how you take something out from one game and use it in another, is going to be seen more and more launching this year and over the next 5 years, where many games companies use each other's APIs and blockchain calls to allow users to take a gun from here and use it in that game. And that is so exciting. You know, that's a $100 billion industry overnight, because why wouldn't you go and spend money in a game knowing that at least you're going to get it back? Or actually, you know what, I might make a profit. So here's the other thing that's exciting is what a lot of games companies are doing, and it includes us. We have a game called Reality Clash. I'll tell you about that in a second. Is we sell limited edition tokenized weapons, the guns that you use in the game. It's a shooting game. And you know, we might only sell 50 of one, and those 50 have a really cool skin on them, and they look, you know, they look amazing. But once we've sold those 50, we'll never make them again. So those owners have something that's rare and unique. And if other players see those really cool guns in the game, they're going to go, where can I get one? And the only place you can get them is from the owner. The owner goes, I'll sell it to you, and I'll sell it to you for $10 more than I bought it for, or whatever. We had a user buy a weapon in our game for $8 at Christmas time. And last week he sold it for $800 because it was a one-of-a-kind, one-off gun. And the person that bought it reckons it's going to be worth $2,000 soon. And as the game gets bigger, it might be worth more. We're seeing these tokenized items in games, not just ours, but other games, selling. Some of them are going for like $25,000 because they're rare and you can use them in other games and they're collectibles. And that's why it's so exciting.
I mean, it's so exciting to see, first of all, the adoption of tokens as a mean of driving engagement. Because there's a product, there is some true utility out of the token into a specific use case. In this case, it's a product driven. But I was thinking about also from a telco perspective, because we want to try to bridge also the interest of the community, which is mostly telco driven, is that what you have been trying to achieve into the gaming industry, which is booming, growing like hell, could be also achieved in industries where the token adoption is inexistent today. I was thinking about the telco industry because, for example, marketeers in the industry trying to launch new product and offering, but why not consider the token as a mean of adoption to the service they already have in the market? Because you have experience having done this and you can see or you can share your experience how the token drives engagement into your community.
Yeah. The token and the item are the same thing. So just to explain that. If you take a limited edition sword and you wrap it with a smart contract, that is called an NFT, which is a non-fungible token, which means it's one of a kind. And so it's not a token like it's a currency. It's a token that is an item. And that code that wraps that sword allows it to be transferred and used in other games or resold and proves its ownership and who owns it. So yeah, it's very exciting. And from a telco point of view, in terms of carrier billing, these items are not sold through app stores. These limited edition items are sold through online stores. So carrier billing can be used because you're not having to be, you're not having to go through Google or Apple where you have to use their in-app purchase system. So it's very exciting.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, I've been involved in a couple of projects and ventures that were essentially doing this. So providing a kind of direct carrier billing by providing an alternative marketplace as opposite to Google and Apple, because there is a fee, which is pretty important, when you sell your product via in-app purchase within Google and Apple. Obviously, you have a service, but you have also a fee. And then telcos definitely can intercept this business by providing direct, somehow, relationship between the parties that involve in the ecosystem. Very good and very exciting, actually. So what I'm very interested to know is, so you started this journey back in the ICO time, so back in 2017, if I don't remember properly.
Yeah.
So, and what are the main challenges being in the blockchain space that you're facing right now from, you know, 2017 back into 2020, how the market, how the consumer has changed so over time, and what are, in your view, the major challenges you're facing at the moment, but also the opportunities in light of the changes?
Well, I think that 2017 wasn't that long ago. In my head, I remember doing the ICO like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
But the difference in, you know, a couple of years is quite incredible in terms of the way that the UI and the way that you, the way that the consumer doesn't need to know anything about what's happening in the background. They don't need to know it's blockchain. The crypto bit has nothing to do with it, actually, unless you have your own crypto token. But I think one of the problems that, you know, as soon as you talk to someone about blockchain or crypto, you can see their eyes glaze over and go, "What? I don't understand." And actually, that's exactly what we're trying to get away from, is explaining how the back end technology works. All a user wants to know is, when I come in and buy that sword, oh, I own it. Well, this is how you do it. You know, we create a wallet for you. Here's your wallet address, and that's your password. And your gun or your sword always stays in it, and that's how you recall it and pass it around to different games. They don't care what's in the background. And I think what's the difference between 2017 and now is, you know, back then it was very much crypto people. It was very much the early the trendsetters of that time getting into crypto and understanding everything that goes on in the background. And it was incredibly difficult. I mean, even buying a Bitcoin's incredibly hard if you're not used to doing it. And the process that you go just to get that is just a nightmare. So I think what we are trying to do as a games company, and games are the best people to do this. I mean, if you think about it, games invented virtual currency, right? So yeah. We know how to make this simple. And our job is to get mass market players that don't care about blockchain, but do understand the mechanics of owning an in-game item and making the UI experience of how you buy that and the game fun. And 2 years ago, you had to be a proper nerd to open different accounts and MetaMask and transferring this to here and that to here. And why does it wait so long on gas fee? What's all that about? All that's still there, but it's all hidden in the background, and it's now explained in much easier terms. And I think that's the biggest change. And our job is to create mass market games that have this in-item purchase ownership, and no one cares about how it's run in the background. And that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, I agree with that. So for a period of time, people thinking about what could leave mass adoption in the industry, while at the end, what is really interesting, what is really driving adoption is, number one, driving or delivering a good product that some people have forgotten. And number two, try to shift a little bit the two focus on the hype, mostly driven by the financial part of the blockchain crypto world, by being much more focused on I call it real economy.
Yeah.
So what really drives value?
Yeah, I mean, so the blockchain gaming market right now is, you know, it's very small. You know, there's probably 10, 15 games companies, and most of them are independent companies like us that believe in blockchain gaming and believe in the future. And what's going to make this mass market is when the big guys come in, right, and go, right, here's a game that everyone recognizes that, and it uses blockchain technology, and it will happen, but it hasn't happened yet. Although we are seeing now, you know, Ubisoft are doing a lot in blockchain gaming. Eidos is now looking at it. You know, Microsoft has just announced a blockchain. So you're starting to see the big guys enter it. But it's very similar to when I was in mobile gaming and when we did some social gaming. It was the independent games companies that took the risk and started that whole platform. When I moved into mobile gaming about 12 or 13 years ago, you know, it was black and white handsets, Nokia handsets, Java games. The big games companies laughed at it. You're not going to play games on phones. It's just never going to happen. Boom, it happened. When social gaming came, you're never going to play games on Facebook. Who wants to play games on Facebook? Boom, it happened. And the people that made it happen were the small independents, the passionate developers creating great stuff. But what made it mass market was those guys going, holy shit, it really does work. Let's invest in this and start building games that people recognize. And what then happens, it's the independents that get acquired because they've spent 2 or 3 years working and building the platforms to make this work. And then it takes off. But, you know, the reason I think blockchain gaming will be bigger than all of those in the past is because the gaming mechanics are wrong for the consumer. I lose money every time I play a game, and yet I carry on spending. Wow, imagine if you can make your money back. Imagine if you make a profit. Imagine if I can use my item in different games. That is so compelling. And that is why, you know, adding blockchain games, adding the blockchain technology into all games that are already there. You just bring that section in where these particular items are tradable, these ones aren't. You know, I think going to be, like I said before, a real game changer.
It's a brand new economy. Yeah. It's a brand new world, let's say, to be embraced. Yeah, that's very, very, very interesting. So what I'm interested to develop even more is, you started your journey by, mastering. So the reality video games, so that's your core expertise. Then you plugged the mobile element into it, as you just explained, because as of 2008-09, so when the smartphones came and the interface has been better developed, then you had much more, you know, a better experience for the end users lately. But then even more, then you had the blockchain element and the token element, which is somehow connected. And then you have unique value proposition, which is what I just described. But for those that don't have an understanding what a token is, so this means they master a specific skill in an industry, whatever the industry are, and are thinking whether to add a token as an element to drive values, as you just explained. What could be for you the main element that this token should contain or should have to create an incremental value for the end users?
Well, so there's a couple of different types of tokens. There is a token, and we have one of them with our game Reality Clash, and it's called an RCC coin, right? It's a Reality Clash coin. And that token, that actual coin, is a cryptocurrency. It's like a Bitcoin or an Ethereum. And there's thousands of these small little coins being traded every day, and each coin is used on a particular utility. And our coin is used to buy these limited edition weapons in our game. But you can also that's a token, and you can buy our tokens on exchanges like where you buy Bitcoins, or we've made it super simple again, trying to take away this whole hassle. You can actually come on our website and buy a Reality Clash coin with a credit card. No one even needs to know that it's a crypto token. It's just simply a virtual currency, which every game has anyway. So again, we don't tell the consumer that. The difference is, because it's a crypto token, if you bought 1,000 Reality Clash coins, you can then change those up on an exchange for fiat currency and get them back in dollars or pounds or euros. That's the key difference. It's a currency that can be exchanged for anything. Whereas if you buy Vcash or any other gaming virtual currency, you're stuck with that and you can only spend it in the game. The big difference here is you can sell it again on an exchange. But then the other part of the token is that the token isn't a currency. It's a non-fungible token. It's an item, which is again what we do. So each one of our items, our tokenized into an NFT, which allows, allows users to trade and sell them or use them in other games. And what we spent 2 years developing a platform, a system that can easily take a physical item or a digital item. And I'm not talking about games here. It can be artwork. It could be toy cars. It could be absolutely anything. We can take that item and we can tokenize it for you. So we now offer a system where a business where we go out to games companies or any company that wants to tokenize their items, and we offer that service. And we have a platform called DAT, which stands for Digital Asset Trading Platform. And basically, it's taken all of 2.5 years worth of experience and development to build this. And now we can go to anyone and go, number one, we can take your catalog of stuff and we can tokenize each one and we can log them on the blockchain. Why do you want to do that? Well, I'll tell you why, because that is like a ledger. We've now digitized everything. We've given it a serial number and we've stored it for you. So you can always call it back up and see it at any time and know who the owner of it is. That's the other thing, it keeps the history. So we tokenize everything for you. The second thing is we can then make you a shop, and that shop can bring all your tokenized assets into it and you can sell them to people, and you can decide how many you want to sell of each of the tokenized assets. And that's built into the smart contract. And once that's done, it can never be changed again, ever. So if you decide there's only going to be 10 pens, then that's it. There's only ever going to be 10 of those pens. So you can now sell them and you decide what the retail price is. Then we can make a trading platform for you where people can then take those pens after they've sold and bring it back in and trade them like collectibles. And by the way, the collectibles market is $100 billion today. So people love collecting and trading. And then our final thing that we can do is we can make a game, if you want, that can use your tokenized items in. So we offer this whole, I suppose, rate card of tokenizing companies' items, from literally just logging them on the blockchain to you selling them, trading them, and then using them. And well, you can see all of that information on realitygaminggroup.com, and it explains everything about the DAT platform. So we're a games business, and that's the business that we're in, always have been. We want to create games that use blockchain technology, and we want to publish them ourselves. And those games are across mobile, browser, any platform. And secondly, we are a B2B business that offer this service to other people.
Yeah, sounds very interesting, especially on the digital assets trading part. So it's in light of what's going on in the market. There's a lot of development right now. I don't know if you follow what happened yesterday with one of the exchanges in the US, which is called Open Finance, which is trying to change the focus of the operations from security tokens to other type of digital assets. But definitely the tokenized after asset word, it's so big that requires people to take action, especially in the period of time like now where we are in a social distancing, that we're trying to reinvent the way we're doing business, and that digitizing asset might be one of these way forward for new entrepreneurs, for example.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have some ideas on what could be valuable assets that by tokenizing it, it might increase in value? We're not speculating out of it, we're just, you know, brainstorming.
Well, game items, obviously, they're rare. And as I say, we're seeing big companies get into this now. We're seeing, you know, F1 have just tokenized a lot of their items for a racing game. The NFL, that's come there tokenizing players. You know, more and more big companies with from the entertainment space with their own owned IP are jumping into this, because as I say, each tokenized part of an F1 car has a value, right? Everything has a value, and if they're rare, then they're just going to go up in value. So on the game side, you know, we're seeing trades of crypto kitties. If you come across that, which is one of the first blockchain games, where if you're not familiar with crypto kitties. Yeah. The game itself is you buy a cartoon cat. If you go onto their site, you'll see they're literally hand-drawn. They're quite fun looking. and you buy a male and a female and they mate and out pops a crypto kitty. And that kitty is unique. There's only one of a kind. And one of those crypto kitties sold last year for $120,000. You know, so people are spending huge amounts if they think that that item has some kind of value in the future. And that's why they go for huge amounts. But other industries that are getting art is incredibly popular now. So people are buying tokenized art, real estate, believe it or not, houses, cars, anything can be tokenized. It's quite unbelievable.
Yeah, I was reading today an article that was saying that, of course, we are not soliciting or recommending any investment here. We're just, you know, brainstorming. But in this article, I was reading that there are some strong elements that we are observing at the moment, which lead us to think that we are moving from an economy of debt to an economy of savings. So where we're putting money into assets or into saving accounts that somehow create a kind of a buffer for what's going on in the future. So which is, I very much agree with this. And I'm not saying investing in or putting money into the digital assets is the solution to move our economy much more in the saving versus debt. But definitely, I think it's worth educating. So having people understanding the options that the digital assets market offer today, and then educating and then decide where eventually to put money, if something is very interesting or not.
Yeah, I mean, people like collecting stuff. No, it goes back down to why do people collect cars and wine? Because they go up in value. All we're doing is creating a digital version and it's logged on the blockchain, which proves you're the owner.
Yeah.
That's the key thing. Because before, a digital version used to be on a centralized database, and that centralized database will be owned by a company because it's centralized, and you know, they own it. What blockchain is decentralized. It's now logged on the blockchain and you own it. You know, that's the key thing. That's why it's changing so fast. And this can only happen because of the blockchain. This is a decentralized ledger, right? It's not owned by anybody, but it proves that item is owned by you.
That's very important for people to understand that it provides, it's much more than what we used to use, like, you know, a digital signature. Here you have the ownership, you have the digital ownership. You don't need to understand what is in the back. So the cryptography elements and the private key, public keys, whatever. You just need to have some keys to get access to your token, your assets. And as well as you manage today your bank account, more or less, with a similar user interface, right?
That's exactly that, yeah.
Yeah. Last topic I would like to touch with you, Tony, is do you think that the current period we're living at, so the pandemic right now, it's exposing us in a certain directions to be much more keen to lead to be interested in digital assets, into tokens, into crypto, in the blockchain thing. What is for you the somehow, I'm not saying tip, but into this period of time, what do you suggest to people that are not in the blockchain world or in the crypto or in the token world to start looking at as a very simple?
Well, we could be for hours debating this, but you know, right now the world is trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars in debt. And it's going to be even worse now with Corona and what's happening. Right? Printing money, and it's just going to, I hate to think what's going to happen in the next 5 years and how this is all going to get paid back. Will banks be around? Could they shut down? Could they, it's frightening when you think about it. That's why blockchain and digital currency is so important, because there is no government controlling it. There is no one reprinting bitcoins. There is only ever going to be 21 million bitcoins. You know, there is no one borrowing trillions of dollars trying to get us out of Corona, and that's our government. And it can only get worse. Whereas, you know, the blockchain and crypto, whatever people think of crypto, it is a decentralized currency that has value, and it will be a store of value like gold. Bitcoins will be, for sure.
Yeah, I very much agree. So for me, what's going on right now in the world gives us the opportunity to educate ourselves on how things can be done differently. Whether this is the solution that will somehow replace everything that we have doing in the past, I don't think, or I don't believe I can even say or make predictions out of it. But I can say that the opportunities we have in front of us is to understand that we have in front of our eyes different solutions. So blockchain, crypto, so Bitcoin and others gives us the opportunity to understand that there is a decentralized manner of doing things that are probably never ever in our history we ever experienced. Point number one. Point number two, whether and how much you want to step into it, that's anyone's decision. And but I think from all standpoint, there's room for understanding, taking actions, and try to see whether into this space anyone can have opportunities that in the, let me call it in the old and traditional world, we struggle to get following the traditional path and manner.
Yeah.
Very good, Tony. I think we are, we are at the end of our podcast. It's very refreshing and interesting to talk to such an entrepreneurish person like you.
Thanks.
Having done a lot in the space. So yeah. I recommend very much to follow what you're doing and having a look at the website you just mentioned. And we will distribute this over our podcast, the so-called MEFcast, into Spotify. Hopefully people will enjoy and will send feedbacks and ask questions, and we will forward to you.
Very good. No, pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you very much, Tony.